Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello. You guys are listening to episode 95, Self-Awareness and Rising Above Trauma with Dr. Lynn Morrell. Now, before we jump into today's episode, as a reminder, the show is sponsored by Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium. Do you guys know your magnesium burn rate or what that actually really means? Make sure to listen to episode 73 with the founder, Kristen Bowen, to learn more. But if you are ready to up your magnesium game, whether it's digestive, nervous system, stress-wise, skin, head over to the show notes link to purchase your magnesium today and make sure you use code WICTHY, witchy, to get 10% off of your cart. And second thing, I am so excited to tell you guys about the upcoming Intro to Essential Oils class. Essential oils are so near and dear to my heart. I started using them for green cleaning, but to be honest, the biggest impact they've had on me is emotionally and spiritually and mentally. You know, they're not going to do the work for you, but they're going to help hold your hand to work through whatever you're processing, whether it's anxiety, grief, stress. They're there to help. If you guys want to learn more about this, my team is hosting classes Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Eastern for 1 hour, and we like to limit it to just 10 people. This way, everybody gets equal attention. And make sure to head to the show notes to fill out the form to schedule your class for essential oils. Now, back to today's show. Dr. Lynn is a best-selling author, speaker, facilitator, clarity consultant. She has worked with thought leaders, world changers, and those committed to sharing their brilliance and vision with the world. While multiple traumas have shaped Dr. Lynn's life, her search for wisdom and freedom has led her on her own heroine's journey. Today, she is a wisdom keeper and internationally known trauma consultant whose expertise has helped thousands of people worldwide transform their past and current obstacles and create better lives than they can imagine. She is a revolutionary leader in energy and soul work. Her lifelong commitment and learning has led her master's degrees in spiritual psychology, applied theology, a doctorate in field of spiritual science. She is a 55-year-long student of martial arts and a former nationally ranked karate champion. Now we'll learn more in a second about Dr. Lynn, but her backstory from this martial arts background to now being a leader in the energy and soul work field. What happens when the mind, body, and spirit are aligned together? Why challenges are here to strengthen and support us, becoming a conscious creator and partner with source of all energy, and all about Dr. Lynn's newest book, Beyond Lovelyville, and so much more. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this beautiful, badass wisdom keeper that is Dr. Lynn Morrell. Episode 95, Self-Awareness and Rising Above Trauma. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I'm your host, Lauren, and we're talking to the amazing badass goddess, Dr. Lynn Morrell, today. And this is a show you get to learn that your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And Dr. Lynn will tell us all about that in a minute. She is a best-selling author, speaker, facilitator, clarity consultant. She works with thought leaders, world changers, and those who are committed to sharing their brilliance and vision with the world. Multiple traumas shaped Dr. Lynn's life. Her search for wisdom and freedom from her past led her on her own heroine's journey. Today, she is a wisdom keeper and internationally known trauma consultant, whose expertise has helped thousands of people worldwide transform their past and current obstacles into opportunities to create a better than they can imagine future. Dr. Lynn is also the author of best-selling books, Beyond Lovelyville, A Parable of Self-Awareness, and Rising Above Trauma, and Soul Lifts, From Bumps to Brilliance. And I am so excited to have you on the show, Dr. Lynn. This is going to be an amazing episode. Welcome.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here today. You're pretty badass yourself, actually.
Thank you. From one badass goddess to another. Yes. I would love to hear. I know you've written, you know, books about this, your past of how you got to becoming this badass goddess that you are today. I love that you mentioned your own heroine's journey, because that's, for me, we all have our own hero or heroine's journey, and that's what life's about. It's to teach us, you know, it's all leading us back home to our hearts at the end of the day. And I would love to dive into your own story.
Oh, thank you. It's all of our story. You know, I do know at this point in my life that in us is a seed for greatness. And if I may be so bold, our soul, that part of us that is divine, orchestrates for us the opportunities to learn and grow in this lifetime. And for some people, it's through trauma. For some, it's through you know, birth defects or health challenges. But there is an innate drive in us to remember who we are. And one of the things I love that you said is that, you know, our body is not in the way, it is the way. And that's actually so key to the work I've done with myself, with my clients. And just a couple of facts, because I'm also a data nerd of sorts, is that there is a seminal book that I read years ago by a therapist named Vander Kolk, is his last name. And it was titled, The Body Keeps the Score. And so that book, he was somewhat ridiculed in the beginning. But what I've known from almost 40 years of doing this work in this iteration is that each trauma, each self-betrayal, each time we err on the side of looking good to please someone instead of pleasing ourselves, we have mini traumas, let's call them, betrayals of our own self. And the body in its wisdom stores them. And each organ, through the years I've discovered, has a certain emotional energy attached to it. So that my journey was one of, let's just say, dysfunctional household 101. I wrote a fairy tale one time about my life, and it was like I was in the other side, you know, sitting with the wisdom keepers, and they said, what do you want to learn in this lifetime? And who do you want to be your parents? And, you know, I picked my parents, and my dad said, yeah, I owe you one. I'll be an alcoholic. That's cool on my part. And my mom says, oh, you know, that lifetime in Egypt, you really helped me out. So I'm going to be a really, really, really crazy person to help you reach and get the anger that you need to express and all of that. So we all agree this. And then on the way to being born, the karmic board says, by the way, you're going to forget all this. And splat, you're born. And so I did that tongue in cheek, but I realized that there's a lot more to that than just a fairy tale. Because looked at from that way, we are all on the hero's or heroine's journey. And the body is the vessel that stores the memories. It stores our strength. It stores our ability to function. And it will guide us if we let it. And we're taught not to listen to our bodies. And that, I think, is one of the greatest challenges that people have in today's society. You know, we're disconnected from the earth. When I was a kid, man, we got dirty. We came home muddy. We were barefoot. There was none of this nonsense about germs. Actually, it built our immune system. And so children now play intellectual little Nintendo games where they zone out and their reality becomes one of whatever game they're playing, which robs them of uncovering the real game, which is life.
Amazing. I know I'm actually reading the book Game of Life. I'm totally blanking on her name. She was another badass goddess from the 30s.
Frances Shovelskin.
Yes. Yes.
I love that woman.
It is. She has a couple other books, but it's a tiny little read. But you guys, I'm rereading it and rereading it because she's awesome. I like her style. She's very straightforward and way ahead of her time as well. And she's just like, here it is, people, take it or leave it. And but in a good way. It's easy to read, but it's packed with wisdom. So
It's an extraordinary book. And the way I found it was after my grandma died. I was going through her library, and here's this old paperback signed by Florence. And the word that she wrote for my grandmother was fulfillment.
Oh my gosh. I just got chills.
I get goosebumps. And in some way, I like to believe she was pretty badass herself, but I like to believe that I'm standing on her shoulders, bringing the fulfillment, not only in my life, but to touching all the people, including her spirit. She may be on the other side, but there's really not a lot of difference, you know? So as I embrace the fulfillment of who I am and what I'm here to do, that ripples out to everybody.
Yeah.
We're so powerful. The quantum field, it's like, I think of about a spider in the center of a web. And, you know, it tells when a prey, you know, when a food lands by the outer edge of the web. And we're like that. We are all energetic beings. And so when one of us heals or has an awareness, that ripples all through creation. And Florence is still rippling.
Oh, she's rippling away. I know. I you know, it's funny you say that. It's not funny because it's how it works. I reading that, I feel very resonant with her and leading, continuing that in my own life as well. It that's beautifully said how you said it. And I had a past life and energy work. My friend, she does a lot of energy work. A lot of time past lives come up that need to be cleared. Mm-hmm. And I had one that was, I was in 1930s as a woman, and I was this big businesswoman with big ideas, but because of the time and because of the relationship that I was in, I didn't go as far as I could, and my light started to dim and dim, and I, you know, almost gave up on life. And that, of course, was exactly what I was working through at the time. And so I feel really connected to Florence because it's during that time period, and I'm like, you know, our generations are here to continue that light and then keep bringing it in. And more people are starting to pick that up. And I think of it almost as like footprints in the quantum field. You know, if one person can heal, I do a lot of Dr. Joe Dispenza's meditations, and I've done a lot of his retreats, and he does a lot of like research with spontaneous healing where people who have terminal illnesses or autoimmune diseases that heal themselves.
Absolutely. They do. I mean, I've been witness to those kinds of things. Funny story. I don't remember the woman's name, but I had someone come to my retreat center probably 25, 30 years ago. And she came on a Friday, and I thought she was coming for the weekend retreat. I ran a spiritual retreat back in the 80s and early 90s. And so corporate during the week and spiritual personal growth on the weekend. So she came and she got in there early because the event didn't start till 7 that night. And I just assumed she was one of the participants. We went for a walk in the woods, and I had this beautiful creek, and we sat with her back under a tree. And I said, "So what brings you here?" And she goes, "I hate my ex-husband." And then she proceeds to tell me about how she put him through medical school and he met a younger woman and left. And I said, "Is there anything else?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm going in for open heart surgery on Monday." And I said, "Really? And you're here this weekend?" She goes, "Yeah." So we talked, and I talked to her about forgiving, because it was hurting her heart, not his heart. And so she took a stone, and she put all of her anger, you know, that she had toward him. She expressed it. You know, I don't remember if she shouted. We were in the middle of the woods anyway. And finally, she took the stone and she decided to bury it under the base of the tree she was sitting on. And then we walked back to the house, and she goes, "Well, I'll be going now." So, "Didn't you come for the weekend?" She goes, "No, I came to heal my heart. My heart's healed. So I'm leaving now." And I said, "Oh, but wait, you better check into the hospital on Monday, because you need to dot your I's and cross your T's. Please do let me know how you make out." I get a call from her. Well, it worked. I didn't do anything. She did it herself. She goes, "I went to the hospital. I went for my pre-op test. The surgeon looks at me and goes, 'Why are you here?' I said, 'Because you said I needed heart surgery.' 'There's nothing wrong with your heart.'" And so, you know, things happen, and it's we are all alchemists. So when we learn something and we're holding on to this heavy rock of judgment, he shouldn't have done this, it literally breaks our heart. It our back goes out when we feel like we've carried somebody. And so in her case, I mean, that was a real bona fide thing. I did nothing but ask her questions. We all have the answers to our own questions when we're brave enough to look. And the body's the doorway in. Because if you got a boo-boo that doesn't go away, and it should have, or technically it should have, then you better put some loving on that part. And that's how we heal ourselves. We love the part that hurts. And all of our energy of healing goes into loving the part that hurts, not hating it.
Mm-mm-mm. So that's so true. And I will say, when I went through my own kind of health journey that led me to start this podcast and do my own healing work, I would be very angry at my body. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've had beautiful moments of healing where I've equally said I was sorry and forgiven my body. That was a cool quantum experience. But, you know, we get into these spots and we're like, well, why aren't you behaving the way you should? Why, you know, this should be, that's how I was. And I don't think we realize that, like, how we actually talk to our bodies when they are trying to tell us, when they are just the messengers. And, you know, I had to mourn that, because I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how I was always talking to myself like that. But it didn't take until that experience for me to realize that. And it amazes me that our bodies intuitively know.
They really do know. And yeah. I, like you, I used to abuse my body. I mean, I was a nationally ranked karate champion. I channeled my anger in ways that I never hurt anybody, but I hurt myself. You know, it's like I would work out until I couldn't pick up my knee anymore, which is not very kind to my body. But I was doing everything I could to keep the memories of the traumas that I had stored away as a child. And, you know, my second husband passed away in an ultralight, like literally it's like a plane crash, a helicopter. And in that moment, I had a lot of missing memories begin to flood back on me. And it was challenging that he passed away. And yet the opportunity from that rip of someone that I cared about opened me to let those memories, like, you know, I sealed up the bunker and the bunker gate got blown open. And so that began a journey of looking at how I could accept my body with the things that had happened to it, with my experiences of it, of feeling that my body had betrayed me multiple times. And that death of David put me on a deeper journey. I was already doing spiritual work. I mean, I came in kind of primed because of the dysfunctionality. I needed to learn to be hypervigilant, which meant I needed to read clues in the energy fields, not consciously, but I knew it was time to go to the roof or across the street to the tree, take my book with me as I got older. And this ability to read energy out of self-protection, and there was also perfectionism and needing to be a people pleaser so that I could be safe, especially as a child. Those things got me through, but they didn't support me as I began to mature in the journey. So I forget which book it could be. Name just went right out of my head. But in the heroine's journey, there's the innocent period. And then there's the trauma period. And women tend to be victims and men tend to go on quests. And then you overcome whatever the obstacle is. And eventually you come back around full circle to become a magician. So you have the innocence, you also have the wisdom. And it was Campbell. I believe it was Campbell.
Yep, Joseph Campbell.
Yep.
Yeah, I think.
I loved his work, it was. And then there was a professor that also continued with his work, and that was his lecture talking about Joseph, actually. So, but that's very real, and it's been my experience with the thousands of people I've worked with. So I got curious. One of the things I wouldn't necessarily do anymore, but I had a lot of anger back then. the ways that I've done things now are very different than I did when it was my journey back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and right up till now, actually. But I would get a wiffle ball bat, and I had a really strong fence on my front porch. I had 66 acres, 64 acres in the woods for my retreat, 16 where my house was and 46 down the street. And I would literally take a wiffle ball and let the anger out. Now, I'm not so sure what good it did, because if you do anger over and over, it actually creates more anger. But back then, the spirit moved me. Would you do that? And then you just lift the anger out, and then you go jump in a really cold spring or water body, and it shuts it down. So now I have much easier, more gentle ways where you don't have to do that stuff. But for me, being physical, that was the way I did it. So in the terms of loving the body, it's like I was scheduled, or I was on track, let's put it that way, to go to the Olympics. It wasn't yet a recognized sport, but I was a nationally ranked champion in the AAU. And life has a way of kicking us up if we're not paying attention to our little inner angels. And I was teaching breakdowns, like takedowns with judo, with a police officer who happened to weigh 200 and something pounds. And my foot got caught in the wrestling mat, and I tore the ligaments and the meniscus in my left knee, which they said would finish my career. However, we have resources. And so I decided that that was not going to finish my career. As serendipity, I worked at Giant Stadium at the time. And, you know, the football guys were there. I actually coached one of the football players in the off season. In the jockey room, imagine a guy that weighs 300 pounds in a room where the average jockey's 4'11". It was so cool. And I used to say, punch me right here. And he'd say, yeah, okay. But he couldn't hit me because I was faster than him. And so we became friends. And out of that context, when I blew out my knee, the doctor for the Giants was actually in the stadium, and I made an appointment. And so I had one of the first arthroscopy surgeries. His father had invented it, and he had carried it on. So I did it, and I worked my butt off so that I could kick again. Not so much anymore, but for probably 10 or 15 years, I had a wobbly knee. I never knew when it would go out on me. But I did, and then serendipity took me to mainland China, and I was doing Tai Chi at that point to rehab. And I met a guy from, where was he? He was Chinese, but he was from New Orleans. And he put me on a training regime. We became really good friends. He had me running up and down 7 flights of stairs, and we were demonstrating. But I got faith in my body again. And I think when we disown our body, it doesn't disown us, but we don't honor that it is a vessel and a temple for these incredible soulic selves that breathe in and breathe out. And we do ourselves such a disservice as women. You know, we take care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves. You know, and we push ourselves to make sure the dishes are done before we go to bed, or the kids' lunches are made, and we're exhausted because we've been up at 4:30, and by now it's 9:30 at night. That's not self-care. That's self-condemnation. You know, and as we invite our body to be part of our life, we have incredible stamina. Oftentimes for myself, I would find myself getting incredibly fatigued for no reason. It's been one of my challenges for most of my life. And so I recognized that the fatigue was literally the negativity that I had not addressed, that I was carrying around behind me. And that was a turning point in my life.
Oh, amazing. And a lot of people deal with fatigue these days too.
It's really, truly negativity, you know, and it's I call it a barking dog, because it's the voices in our head that say, you're not enough. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too short. You're too old. No, you're too young. And no matter what you do, that voice is always there.
Yeah.
And that is the voice of, I call it, the negative power, the negative polarity. It's not bad. It's just negative. And then we've got the light polarity or the positive polarity, it's neither good nor bad, just one's light and one's dark. And so when we resist that negativity, it gets bigger. The thing that I've learned that is so counterintuitive is you can't hate what happens to you. You can't hate yourself because you should have, could have, would have, ought have done it different. You can't hate yourself if you used alcohol to calm the pain, or too much pot, or you got into cocaine, or you went serially from one relationship to another, or you didn't have any relationships. That's all like the barking dogs whose job is not to destroy us. This is a very radical viewpoint, but it is here to strengthen us. And those resistances, like when you lift weights, you know, if you do it to the point where you can do it and then squeeze out one more, the next day you'll be stronger. And ironically, the more aware you get in your own life, the bigger the negativity seems. But it's still nothing more than a barking dog with no teeth that's chained to a fence. It sure is loud, though. And go ahead.
I was just gonna say, yeah, for me, I say the barking dog too, but I think of it as like if the mailman came to the front door and my German Shepherd puppy would bark and let me know that, hey, there's someone out there. I don't like
that.
And then I'll say, okay, thank you, Shantine. You know, she'll calm down and walk away. And that's the same thing is what you're speaking of. It's there were just these messengers to just let us know there's something there to grow. There's something there to put through. Yeah.
And the thing is, it's such a trickster that we start denying or getting distracted from, you know, you really need to go get your license renewed. Yeah, I'll do it next week. And then 3 months down the road, you get pulled over, you raise your registration, you're over, you know, stuff. That's the negative thing. But the beauty of it is the more you connect to your body, the more you connect to your heart, not as a disembodied being, but, you know, you connect head, your heart with your body. They are an early warning system, those yipping doggies, so that when I start to feel bad or I feel off key, as a confession, when I ran away from home at 17, I got a job in a machine shop as the front desk kind of receptionist, Girl Friday. And I learned curse words that I had no idea what they were. I still don't know what they were, but some of them were four letters. And when the negativity comes upon me, I find myself going, and I go, oh, the negativity's here. Not on my watch. And I'll do some exercises. So one of them I learned in China, which your readers can do, it's all body stuff. When I studied in Taipei, Taiwan for, I think, 5 weeks, I was a house student. And every morning, like at 5 o'clock, even before the sun came up over the mountains, we were up there doing our forms. And my teacher was very strict. He didn't speak any English. At least I didn't know that he spoke English. But for 5 weeks, it was my bad Chinese. And so he would have us stand every morning with our hands like this, kind of in a bowl, and go like this. Just up and down. And then he'd have us go like this. And to this day, now I do it all over. And I'll say, no, 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 neg, for negativity. Not me you're looking for. My grandmaster says, no, 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 matrix, like the matrix of negativity. But I just use neg because it's easier to say. And even though I learned that from him, I preceded learning that technique 30 years earlier. And then we would have to stand on one foot and shake the foot while we're shaking the hands. And if you do it for a minute a day or before you're going to go to a meeting that you kind of don't want to go to, or you're not prepared for something, or you've lost your earbuds, like I couldn't find my earbuds this morning. And it's like, it's not a big deal. It's like, no, 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 negativity. You know, sit. Now I call the bad dog a little puppy. Puppy, sit now. And I just literally go, sit now. I'm busy. And so that is a tool. And there's another, you know how you sometimes see old ladies wringing their hands? That is actually an incredibly clearing thing to do because your meridians have outlets on the hands and the feet and the ears. And so when the old babushkas and the people in Eastern Europe would wring their hands, oh, woe is me, what are you doing? I'm praying, you know? That also gives us breathing room. to step back, literally push that negativity back and choose something positive.
I also think of, you know, speaking of my dog again, animals in nature just shake it off. You know, my dog gets up from laying down. What does she do? She shakes it off. You know, she gets out of the water, shakes off. They naturally, animals do that. And that's exactly what you're talking about right now. Shake it, shake off that energy.
And we're animals.
Yeah. And we are. Yeah.
We're two-legged. We have a consciousness, but every living creature has a consciousness.
Yep.
And when we open to the beauty of all creation, that we're not separate from nature, mm-hmm. we can learn so much from the animals. You know, I was just thinking now about one time about an animal thing when I was deeply in the negativity. I mentioned earlier that my husband passed away in a plane crash. And so I decided that two of my friends decided that they wanted to go on a trip cross country to Colorado. And they invited me to come. One was, I worked at, I used to do, it's not nonprofit, but I had grant work where I worked with battered women and women on welfare and single moms. And so she was the facilitator for the Kelly. And so they invited me to come. And David had been dead maybe 6 weeks. So I was in full grief. And so we went cross country and then we got to this place outside of Durango with this gorgeous canyon. And they went off hiking and I went off and I had a good cry. And then I realized the anger was coming up. And so in my mind's eye, I wanted to see what my anger looked like. And whoa, it was, this may date some of your listeners, but the Michelin Tire Man was like the Macy's Parade, this big blow up black doll, you know? And so in my mind's eye, this two story thing was there and that was my anger. So I took this imaginary big ladder and I put it up there and I climbed to the top and I looked it in the face and I said, what do you want from me? And then I fell inside this thing. And when I came to, I realized, oh, the anger was eating me up. What a metaphor, right? So I'm really, really happy now that I've released this issue. So I go back, I share a little bit with my friends. And, you know, the next morning we get up and one of them says, hey, come on by the pool. I want to tell you something. I said, okay, what is it? She goes, well, we've decided to leave you here because your energy is just too heavy for us. And so they left me stranded in Durango at a hotel and they drove off with the rental car. Now, what am I going to do? I can freak out or I can freak in, which is okay. Plan B. My brother lives in Albuquerque. I could go visit my brother. So I got a rental car. And before I left, I wanted to take a ride up into the mountains and possibly take the Durango train. Well, it turns out it was closed. It was springtime. And I pulled off the side of the road and there was this kind of mountain hill pasture and I walked and then there was a circle of snow and I laid down and I was just looking at the sky. And then I thought, oh, okay, I need to drive a little more. So I drove and I found a horse ranch, rides available. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go on a horseback ride. So I pulled in. The woman says, I'm sorry, we're closed for the day. So I'm a little bit sad. And, you know, she goes in to do something. And meantime, before I leave, I start petting this horse that comes up to me. And she comes out of the stable. She goes, how are you doing that? I said, isn't he beautiful? She goes, that horse bites everybody. It's my horse. And I said, well, you know, I really came because my husband died and my friends abandoned me. And I just really wanted a horse ride. So I guess petting your horse is really important to me. She says, we're going riding. So we went riding through these scrub oaks. The mud was like this deep in places. And that's when I was done. I said, I'm going to go visit my brother for sure. So I went home. I booked a flight in like under 2 hours. It would have taken a miracle for me to get there. I write goals for 40 years. I get there and there's a delay with the flight. So I called the car rental place. This was Durango, very one horse airport. And I said, I'm leaving my car with the keys in front of the terminal or I'll miss my plane. They were okay with that. I dropped it off. The flight had been delayed a half an hour. I called my brother and I said, bro, are you up for me visiting? He goes, yeah, when are you coming, sis? I said, I'll be there in 2 hours. Can you pick me up? And so that's where I made my first meditation audio. Back after that so-called traumatic experience and being in the mountains and riding the horse, even though my life had just fallen apart hugely, I was able to transform it because I let my body lead me. Oh, I'm going to lay on the earth. Oh, I want to ride a horse. Huh. And there's the horse place. And oh, I need to create the plane being late. So even though I was in grief, huge grief, massive grief, I was able to reach inside because I had enough martial arts experience that I knew intuitively how to do that. I went to my brother. He was a musician. I said, hey, bro, can I do a meditation for you? So I did this thing called The Wind. He got up and played the music. And it was a really wonderfully selling first audio. I didn't know what I was doing. It's exquisite audio. Of course, the company went out of business, but I didn't get anything back from them. But that was the beginning of the transformation out of the negativity of grief and the cesspool that that is. I mean, we're all going to grieve when we lose something. In a way, it's like they've rejected us, you know. No, things have changed. And if we become change masters by listening to these exquisite bodies, you'll be able to navigate. It's like, oh, I think I'm going to take that exit, you know, and then you find out that the next exit there's this huge accident. Or I had an urge one time to pull off in a place called Tunkhannock, this little funky town in Pennsylvania, and get my car checked because there was something wrong with it. Not a big thing, but I saw the mechanic there and I thought, I'm just going to get that fixed now. There indeed was an incredible, like, multiple car pileup there I would have been in the middle of. So when we listen to our bodies, it's a Geiger counter, it's a compass, it's a fueling station, it's a temple. You know, we can love it or abuse it. It still is with us. And when we look at it as this gift that allows us to navigate planet Earth, then everything changes.
Yes, yes, yes. I was thinking, I love going on walks or exploring like a city mm-hmm. or nature, just led by my intuition. And I've had wonderful memories. I just take my phone and, you know, I'll take some money or a credit card with me, put it in my pocket, just walk. And, you know, not so much healing experience, but I'd walk up to the little movie theater in my neighborhood and I was like, oh, the movie starts in 15 minutes. I've never seen a movie by myself before. This sounds really fun. And I, oh goodness, I'm blanking on the name of the movie, but it's a children's movie. Oprah just, it used to be a best-selling book. I'll link in the show notes, but anyway, it talks about like the quantum realm and all what we talked about, the polarization of like this evil energy that was like taking over these people.
Oh, and the Jim Henson movie and The Loving Mystics. No, that's a wonderful movie.
That's a good movie, but this was, oh goodness, it was a book in the 30s or 40s, maybe it's 50s. Oh my goodness, well, my brain is fogged, but I will link.
I'm curious about that.
It's recent. It was about 3 or 4 years ago that it came out. That it was really good. It's a children's story and this heroine's journey, this little girl who had to come into her own and gain this self-confidence to overcome all
was
of this.
Mulan?
And it was not Mulan.
Oh, now you'll
be goodness. I know. Now I'm going to look this up.
Oh, was it the Hawaiian girl that starred? That was more than 3 or 4 years ago. The little girl that...
It was A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes.
That's what it was. Yes. And it's a great book. I read it after as well. And my grandma was an elementary school librarian. And she said that was one of the most checked out books she ever had. So it's a good read, good movie. And it was exactly what I needed to see, but you know, not out of this world, so to speak, healing, but it was just being led by my body and my intuition of like, I'm going to take a walk. Oh, you know, I'm going to grab that debit card just in case. Maybe I want to grab some
food or
something.
That's what I call serendipity.
And
you know, I wrote goals for our show that there would be great serendipity. And because I say my friend serendipity, it's part of the Chinese great eight things that you master. And like I always write a goal every day that my friend serendipity brings me exactly the people that I need at the right time or the opportunities. And like you, I walk. One of the things that our listeners can do is I use walks as therapy as well. And when I lived in the country, I lived on a dirt road. And, you know, like I said, it was the deer and the bear and not a lot of people, except when they came to my retreat. And so I would walk and I would breathe in and I'd say to myself, be still. And then before I exhale, I'd say the word trust. And as I exhale, I would say, I am. So it's be still, trust, I am. And I did that for miles to build trust, because when you've been betrayed or traumatized, first thing, we don't trust our bodies. We don't trust our mind. We don't trust our heart. We contract, you know, like little Frozen, like the movie Frozen. Mm-hmm. And that saying of be still, trust, I am. With my dog, we'd go for long walks. And that evolved into a really powerful thing I learned from a spiritual teacher, which is God bless you, I love you, peace, be still. So if somebody bugs you or you've done something that you don't like, you know, and you're starting to beat yourself up, you just go, God bless you, I love you, peace, be still. And what it actually does is, I love you is a sword. You know, I studied swords and all weapons and stuff like that, but a loving sword will never hurt you. Because if you use loving and it's turned against you, it's still loving. So that's God bless you. And then I'm sorry. Well, let me say, God bless you, I love you is the second one. And the I love you also goes to the entire universe. And then peace be still is actually an ego command, like the equivalent of telling the puppy that's barking to sit. So peace be still. If you look at the New Testament, where Peter was asked to walk on the water, which Christ walked on the water, he walked on the water, and then what happened? His ego got in the way. I can't be walking on water. So our mind is a wonderful tool, but it is not the thing that drives our life. You know, the heart, the body, the full embodiment of body, mind, and spirit. I love your little checklist, by the way. You know, it's very similar to what I do. I have two journals. This one's all, I go through a journal about a month. I have one for blessings and I have this one for my goals. And because when we write things down, even if you just write it in the air or you write it without a pen, just on the table, your brain recognizes that that's important. Because if you think enough to kinesthetically imprint it on your brain, you're one step further to having your goals come into fruition.
I love that. And what I started doing just popped in my head, so I have to say it. This year, I started drawing my feelings or drawing the energy. Mm-hmm. And just, I have like a 10 pack of different colored pen. I love felt tip colored pen. I love picking fun colors, whatever intuitively I feel like. And I journal in different color a day or multiple colors in one day. And I was like processing something and I was like, I'm going to pick these three colors and these three colors represent my energy and two other people's energy. And I'm going to color out what the experience was like, what it's like now and where it's going to go and how, you know, and it was just like Picasso on the page, but it was just this beautiful journey. I ended up realizing that I had these three pens and it was just this one line and it changed, but it was just this a few pages long of this whole journey. And that really helped me too. Cause I think we all learn in different ways, but I think with healing and processing things, whatever comes to mind like that's not something I do. I dance it out a lot, whether I'm happy, sad, angry, whatever. I like to move my body. That's part of embodiment. And that's that feminine aspect coming through. And for me, a lot of this past few years has been like reawakening those first few centers, the energy centers or chakras, the divine feminine, where our core power and who we are truly is, and movement, like we said, shaking it off, but movement.
I've had people dance their lives. It's like when I would do retreats, I say, okay, well, you know, dance the quality of your life. And someone will go like that. It's very, very visceral when you set it up properly with a meditation and make it safe for the people. Sometimes I'll have them do it with their eyes closed. But to touch, if I may, on your point about art, I spent 19 years with a nonprofit that uses art specifically to help battered women and children and veterans heal. And so we're all artists and our body keeps the score. And we know when we put whatever it is outside of us, then we have a greater distance that we can come into equanimity and say, oh, isn't that interesting? And it was so powerful that I used that component also as part of my treatise/dissertation, which was about trauma. And every board meeting, I was board chair for 10 years, and every meeting we do a mini art project to see what the women are doing in the shelters. And the first time I was there, the founder had us take 3 pieces of paper and just randomly do something with it. So I just wasn't thinking. I took a piece of black paper and then I took masking tape and I just put stuff, and then I colored over it with black or whatever. And then that was in the second one was 2 swans. They were 2 swans, but it actually looked like a heart. And then the third one was a single bird or a single something. And when we unpacked it, what she actually said was, the first one is your past, the second one is current, and the third is your future. So the first one, when I took the masking tape off, it was bars. It was my life as a traumatized child and young adult and young woman. The second one was the relationship with my husband at that time. We were lovebirds. We were romantics. He was the chaplain at UCLA. Matter of fact, I have a book coming out in July called Love You, which is our actual love emails to each other during the course of his life. He passed away 15 years ago. It's taken me that long to do it. And they wanted to put me on Tim Johnson, some big TV guy, wanted me to write a book and interview me. I was too devastated, but I printed out everything. So the book is actually as is printouts, complete with spelling mistakes, because it's unabridged love and how we overcame. So there was that middle one. And the next one was a single bird, which literally was me when he passed away, not soon afterwards. So our unconscious speaks volumes to us. And doing the art, like I used to take a 4x8 board and I put it up against a tree this one time and it had 3 big pieces. So the canvas was 3 pieces that was taller than I was. I threw paint at the canvas. And then I went and I got grasses from the backyard and I used that as paintbrushes. And then I took rose petals. And then when I was done, it was something like freedom from chaos. And it represented where my life was. And when I looked at it, there was a spinal column and it came into a buttocks and it was the back of a woman. And it was so powerful that revelation that I needed to get free from the chaos of the grief, more freedom from the chaos of the trauma of he died and it was a hospital cover-up. And the reason I knew that was because the mortician was our friend. And he called me and he goes, oh, Lynn, don't worry. You're going to be taken care of. James died with enough drugs in his system to kill an elephant. They ruled it natural causes. Talk about anger. Oy vey, was I angry. Now, this was the second husband I lost. And so I've dealt with anger as a anger and betrayal as one of the sub dissonant tone. And yet the artwork, the movement, things as simple as this, and a decision, who are you going to serve? Would you rather have your life be exquisite with temporary bumps, which are making you stronger? Or would you rather have it be the familiar struggle, they did that to me and I don't like that person and it's not fair and that person cut me off and I got robbed? That's another reality. I don't live in that reality so much anymore. We get to choose as embodied women, goddesses, men, gods. We are all in the body of God and we're all one. And so when any one of us gets our body and loves it, the entire world benefits.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't even know if I have anything to add to that. I just looked at the time and I was like, well, this is a perfect way to wrap it up. Was there anything else you wanted to share before we close out our beautiful, beautiful conversation?
Thank you so much. Well, I would love to share my last book, which was a bestseller last December. It's called Beyond Lovelyville. Lovelyville is a place. And the subtitle is A Parable of Self-Awareness and Rising Above Trauma. It's actually in many, many ways autobiographical of my life. There's earthquakes, there's fires, there's all sorts of things going on in this place. And it's a children's book, but it's for the child in all of us. So my beta readers were 10-year-olds all the way up to 75-year-olds. And the feedback I've gotten most recently, a thought leader friend of mine read it and said, what did he say? It's the best of Chronicles of Narnia and Alice in Wonderland. And I have a quote on the back from somebody that says, it's the best of Chronicles of Narnia, Charlotte's Web, and Lord of the Rings. So it's a parable adventure. But when you go into the book, every line has something for somebody. And it's been energized with as much love as I have. So my prayer is that this book become a household treasure, you know, just like the one we were talking about, A Wrinkle in Time. And that's my biggest desire, is that that book blesses everybody, and children read it when they get to be older, and then their mothers, and then they read it to their children. And that's really my prayer. The next book is to open people's hearts to the fact that relationships can be magnificent, and that, yes, there's crap that comes up. How we greet these challenges in the easier times makes it so much, you're so much prepared when the hard times come. And the antidote and the way to end this is, God bless you all and love you. And thank you for a great, great, great podcast.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you. And I truly believe everybody is going to hear exactly what they need to hear in the show. And we end every single episode saying thank you for showing up for yourself, for continually to being that badass goddess who's listening to that body, keeping the score over and over and over again, and just leading the way for all of us. And how may we, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you in return today?
Well, aside from loving yourself, that's the number one thing, because when anybody loves themselves, the whole world gets a hit. If you're moved to consider Lovelyville, it's on Amazon, Beyond Lovelyville. I think it will touch your heart in ways you didn't expect. It's chock full of keys and tools and ways that you can deal with everyday life and then the storms. So that would be my wish. But mostly take care of yourself and bless somebody that's having a bad day.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Lynn. This was such a beautiful conversation. My heart goes out to you and every single listener now, tomorrow, and later.
Thank you all. What a great joy to be here.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.